News Radio 560, KPQ.
This is The Agenda from News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com, where topics of local concern affecting you are open for discussion. And now your host, Michael Knight.
Good afternoon, 12:15, 40 degrees in Wenatchee Town, and Michael Knight with my special guest today. Consider this. There's an industry that we don't understand very well that would like to begin operations in Chelan County, but for reasons vital and for reasons frivolous, it doesn't look like it's going to happen the way they thought. Blockchain technology needs power. Lots of power. So much so that their theoretical use of power and the fear of unregulated growth actually challenge the daily abilities of the PUD to meet the needs for you, the already existing customers. What's the solution to a new industry looking for a home and looking for power? So is it yay or is it nay regarding blockchain technology? Can we just watch from the sidelines while Douglas County takes a flying leap into the future? And where did he land in that future? I don't think anybody knows. Chelan's PUD is turning away technology in its infancy, or is it welcoming them at their own rate? Did we say nay too soon, or have we said yes or no to anybody? And now, quickly, a change of subject. Where are these people in the PUD going to call home? That's the thing we better take care of first. Wenatchee headquarters has been thoroughly outgrown since forever. So where's the new home going to be? Can the PUD find a new home with room and facilities to accommodate all their various departments? Do I hear a yes to a new home and a no to proposed blockchain technology? Can you get a toehold if they pay their own way? So we're going to get an answer to some of those questions, and maybe even I'll understand the answer when we introduce our very special guest right now, Gary Arsenault, and also Dan Frazier. Welcome to our studios, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Did I make any sense there, or am I getting closer?
No, you make perfect sense, and those are million-dollar questions.
Well, let's start with the home. We'll get something out of the way. We've needed a home for the PUD for some time, and you thought about moving, and now I think you're making up your mind, or are you ready to say when? You're going to pencil in a destination?
You know, I want to kind of go back just a little bit and talk about what prompted us even looking at our facilities, and that is that the board made a request of the general manager to do a asset assessment. And that was everything from the hydro projects, so all of our dams that we operate. It's all of our substations. It's all of the power lines that you see that bring power to your home. And it's also the large transmission that goes out over the mountains that delivers power to wholesale markets. So that was an extensive process. It also involved, of course, taking a look at every building we own, of which the PUD owns many hundreds of buildings just over the years. Buildings have been acquired, built. I'll give you an example. Down at Rock Island back in 1930s when the dam was built, contractors came in and they built temporary housing for their construction crews while they were building that hydro facility. We're still using those buildings. And they were built as a temporary building back in the 1930s. That gives you an idea of what we've discovered.
Single wall cabin construction.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, not much insulation. And talking of insulation, we have a building at our headquarters. It's in the backside of the parking lot, brick building. And that building was originally started off as a cold storage building.
And now?
And this was back in the early 1900s. And at that time, of course, the insulation of the day was straw. And that straw is still in that building. When you walk into that building, you can definitely smell decaying straw in that building. So there's all kinds of things. That building is really not earthquake safe. There's all sorts of issues. The straw is a bad idea. It's a fire hazard.
Well, I thought you were going to propose it for all your buildings.
Well, no. But, I mean, so this analysis that was done by the general manager and staff really opened our eyes on the commission. It's like, holy cow, we're causing our staff to work in these kind of buildings. I'll give you another example. Down at Rock Island, there is not a paint sand room building at all. So as you can imagine, we have these giant metal gates that go down and they shut off the water when we're doing maintenance on all of our turbines. Those gates, they're made out of metal, right? They get wet, they turn into rust, and you got to do maintenance on these things. So if you do your maintenance not in the summer, and say you do it in the spring, the fall, or worse yet, the winter, you're sandblasting outdoors in the snow, and you're trying to paint these things not inside of a building. So you've got issues like wind, you've got issues like rain, all sorts of issues that hinder the maintenance that gets done on these big the gates. So we really are behind the times in terms of upgrading our facilities.
Did you know all this? Did you know that that's how you were conducting daily business, that it was all piecemeal in various facilities around the county?
You know, it was not clear. We knew that we've always been frugal as a PUD. We've never spent money for the sake of spending money. And so it wasn't until the general manager delivered this asset assessment to the board that we said, wow, that's an eye-opener. We've really got to do something about this. And so we started looking at, where is the majority of our service calls going in 2018? It's quite different than it was in 1950. So what we've discovered is that the majority of our service calls, over 60% of our trucks that roll north of Wenatchee.
60%?
Yeah, 60% of our trucks that roll north of Wenatchee. So think about gas, think about fuel cost. We have a what they call a laydown yard, and that's where we store all of our power poles, the wooden power poles. So lack of space, years ago the decision was made, let's rent some space from Appalachie up by Saddle Rock, because they have a lot of space up there. It's in town. We lay our poles down. So I'll give you an example. What we've discovered through this asset assessment is that you've got a line crew that maybe their job of the day is to go replace a pole. So they start out at headquarters, make their way through traffic up to Saddle Rock, Appalachie, to the pole yard, load a pole, make their way back through Wenatchee. And remember, 60% of our trucks roll north, so they go up and down North Avenue and head north.
To a town unknown.
So you start doing, you've got how many linemen are in the truck, how much are we paying them an hour to just sit in traffic and drive back and forth between fetching a pole and driving north.
So it doesn't take long to see you waste half your day before you get anything done.
This needs assessment and the asset assessment really, as I say, opened our eyes. And so once that was accomplished, then the board said, well, let's look at what our options are. And the general manager and staff did a great job looking throughout the county what made sense. Obviously, if 60% of your trucks roll north, then you want to position them north.
Yes.
You want to have all your poles north. So you need enough land to lay your poles down where the trucks are instead of spending an extra hour going to get a pole and driving north. And at the end of this analysis, we looked at that monitor. We looked up Easy Street, and we looked where the port has their property there at the Horan property. And after the numbers crunched and we took a look at what made the most sense, there's acreage that the port owns called the Horan property. It is not the Horan house. I want to make that very clear. It's not the Horan house.
Two different things.
And it doesn't even include the dirt the Horan house sits on. Made that really clear. And so yesterday's board meeting, the commission gave approval to move forward with talking with the port and signing documentation to acquire some land up at the port for the potential. And I want to make this really clear. No decisions about the Wenatchee location has been made. Just because we're buying a piece of land doesn't mean we've agreed to build a building up there, that we're moving forward or our mind is made up. That's not true. We just know that getting land of the size that we need is getting harder to do. Look around Wenatchee. Where do you see big chunks of land anymore? You don't. So we better secure some land and then take this slowly going forward.
How much land do you need to build something on?
Well, I'm going to ask Dan here because Dan is our expert on facilities.
So the analysis really indicated we needed around 20 acres. And the piece that we're buying from the port is 19, just over 19 acres. And we actually own some adjacent land that will be used for, as Commissioner Arsenault indicated, the pole yard will be on some additional land that we already own in the area.
Now, you guys are not only frugal, but you're very cautious about making decisions. I've noticed this about the Bitcoin situation, which is yet to be decided upon, unless you're going to surprise me today. And certainly about this, where you could say, well, look, we need a solution. Let's vote on it. Let's get some land and let's do it. But that's not your style, is it?
No, it's not.
What did you learn about doing it the other way that turned out to be wrong, and that you favor this method of being cautious?
Well, let me first say that in my prior life, before I was a PUD commissioner, I was a financial investor advisor, and I owned a wealth management money management firm.
So you like sharp pencils?
And so I like sharp pencils.
Good.
I know numbers, and I get along. And I learned a long time ago that you have to be careful and proceed slowly in order to make sure that the decisions you're making are the right ones and for all involved.
Especially when the owners of the PUD don't get to sit in those commission meetings other than the fact that you're a customer and a commissioner.
Well, and let's make it really clear that I represent the people of this county. That's who I represent.
That's your number one job.
That's my number one job. And so every single decision that comes before me, that's the first question that I ask. Is this good for the citizens of Chelan County? Is it going to benefit them? Does it expose them to undue risk? And because of my background in finance and having owned my own business, I understand risk. I understand risk very well. And so when it comes to, you mentioned cryptocurrency, when it comes to new technologies, I'm not against them at all. I embrace new technologies, but I embrace them cautiously, and I make sure that if I'm going to put any residents' pennies at risk, we're going to do so carefully and only after we've given it a great deal of thought and consideration.
When do you think you'll make up your mind about the new home or the next step in acquiring a new home?
Well, I don't even want to suggest that we have any kind of a timetable, because we don't. Buying the land, acquiring the land, gives us the luxury of time. We now have time to really think this through. And at the end of the day, if staff came to me and said, you know what, this really isn't the right spot, I'm not against us selling it and looking for something else somewhere else.
You probably could sell it for right now more than you paid for it.
Well, that I don't know, but I think we've got a fair deal. I think the port got a fair deal, and I think we got a fair deal. I'm certainly not entering into this agreement with the idea we're going to resell it. That's not the point.
But it's a valuable piece of property you could spend if you don't decide to use it.
Well, we would hope. Although the port does have the right of first refusal that they could get it back if we don't use it. So,
you're both cautious.
We're both cautious. Absolutely. I have to tell you that the commissioners down at the port have been very careful, very thoughtful. And just as I have said, taking the citizens' dollars really carefully and thinking about how you spend those and being cautious about it, the commissioners at the port are the same way.
That's the voice of Gary Arsenault. Gary, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you're going to leave soon, so I want to get to the cryptocurrency.
Yes.
It seems to me that the decision you've made, and I bet you're going to correct me on this, is that you don't really care that it's a new industry. That's not the problem. If they want the power at that rate, they're going to have to pay for it no matter where it comes from.
I'm going to back up because I want to preface this. I don't
something
like
about the way I ask questions makes people back up.
An answer, yes.
You have the floor.
Let's start with the fact the Chelan County PUD provides a reduced electric cost for residents of Chelan County, residents and businesses in Chelan County. Our cost to produce power and deliver it to your home, this is a ballpark figure. It changes. It's very fluid. But let's just pick a number somewhere around 5.5 to 6 cents a kilowatt hour. That's what it costs to deliver the product. But let's just call it a widget. I produce a widget. I sell it. I produce my cost to 5.5 cents. If I want to make a profit, I have to sell it for more than that.
You know, agreed.
5.5 to 6 cents. So if you look at what residential power rates are in the county, I'm selling my widgets at 3.2 cents to residents and 2.7 for industrial. So I do that by way of selling surplus power into the wholesale market.
And that's a good business to be in.
It's a great business to be in, and we're very fortunate as residents of this county that the PUD has been very fiscally responsible over the years and is in a position where we can do that.
And do you have an idea about what you earn on that sale?
No.
It varies.
It varies. So wholesale electric prices are like pork belly futures or orange juice futures. It moves up and down all day long. It's like stock prices. And
right.
Of course, look at those. They're way down today. So but the point is that we make this available to residents because we can sell wholesale power. If we had a bunch of out-of-town businesses move into the county and soak up that extra power so that we had less and less to sell in the wholesale market, what that would do is it would cause us to be in a position where we could not sell local residents power at a reduced cost. We'd have to raise rates.
Because you lost your market overseas or wherever else you're selling your power.
Well, exactly. On the West Coast, California, let's just use a number. If we sell 10,000. These are just numbers completely off the wall. If we sell 1,000 megawatts to California and take that profit and bring it back and are able to reduce power rates here today, but if because businesses come in from elsewhere, China, elsewhere, and not only we have 500 megawatts to sell to California, somewhere we've lost revenue and we can't provide a lower cost to residents.
But you've thought of a way around this, haven't you?
So that's kind of a 101 lesson on the Chelan PUD and how it is rates are covered here in our county. What we've determined is, and as I said earlier, I embrace new technology. I have no problem with the concept of new and untested technology. That's how we got the internet. So many things were created that were new and untested. Microwaves. My mom was afraid of them for years, but she finally embraced them. So that's the concept. However, I think that with this kind of a high density load or high usage load requirement.
Very high.
24/7, 365. And these machines suck up a great deal of power, that those machines and that kind of a load is a very unique load. It's not like your house where you go to bed at night and turn off the lights. It's not like a business that operates during the day and turns off in the evening. So it's very unique. Our county power grid was never built for that kind of a load.
I think there's no power grid built for that kind of load, is there?
Well, certainly ours isn't.
Right.
And so if you look at the history of our power grid, if all of a sudden you introduce something that's 24/7, 365, sucking it as fast as it can through a straw, that's going to tax all of our hardware and assets, the transformers, the substations, the power lines, the grid, everything. And so the concept of a rate, a cryptocurrency rate, recognizes the fact that this usage puts extra strain on the system. And therefore, this usage should pay for the extra strain it puts on the system in the form of a cryptocurrency or blockchain rate. It makes perfect logical sense. If you drove your automobile with your foot nailed to the floor every day, day in, day out, 24 hours a day, it's not going to make it 100,000 miles.
No.
And that's exactly what happens to our transformers and our substations and our power lines and everything we own.
The load just wears them out.
The load wears them out. And we've seen transformers that normally would have a long multi-year life wear out in 2 years. East Wenatchee experienced a transformer that caught fire outside of Costco. There's a little storage shed over there a couple of years ago. Cryptocurrency miner set up unbeknownst to
illegally.
And set up in those storage sheds, and the demand ended up causing a transformer to catch on fire. So there's all kinds of evidence, scientific evidence, that points to this demand load that our system was never built for. So as we look at, and we haven't passed a cryptocurrency rate, staff did make a recommendation to us at our next meeting in December, the first meeting in December. We will be hearing again from staff, and it's highly likely we will be asked to make a decision, but we have not yet.
Is it going to be attractive to the cryptocurrency or the blockchain technologies around the world that were intended to move here and may still have plans to move here to come to Wenatchee, to Chelan County, pay your freight, whatever the case may be? Will they still be operating within the bounds of their ability to make money doing blockchain technology, or would the power costs prevent them from turning a profit?
Well, I'm going to twist this around just a little bit, because a Bitcoin is no different than shares of Apple Computer. Same thing. It's a commodity by which you produce it at one price and you sell it at another. That's all it is. So today, Bitcoin's dropped to below $4,200 a coin. Okay. It's possible that regardless, it doesn't matter how much the electric rates are, it's possible that the cost of, housing and the cost of computer equipment and the cost of, your staff to maintain this are going to put a pressure on a bunch of Bitcoiners just because the price dropped. Recall, it was only several months ago that Bitcoin was at $20,000 a coin. That's when everybody got on the bandwagon. So even if you take electric power rates out of the equation, the price of Bitcoin is falling so fast that I predict, again, as a guy with a finance and investment background, I predict if it continues to fall at this rate, it's not going to matter how much your electric rates are. It's just not going to make financial sense.
I think you're right. But what about the other uses of blockchain technology that apparently Bitmain in East Wenatchee now is investigating? And to what end, I couldn't tell you, but they're in operation.
Yeah. I think, so we have, Chelan County PUD has embraced the concept of blockchain and high density load. We're not saying don't come here. We're just saying pay your share of what the costs are on the infrastructure to be here.
But the original attraction was five and a half to 6 cents for a kilowatt hour, correct?
Right.
Now that's not going to be the price they pay. Are they still going to come, do you think?
Well, we haven't made a decision on what price they're going to pay, right? But what we have is some cost for infrastructure, some infrastructure costs that the staff has recommended. To keep the equipment functioning. Because we know, as I said, if my transformer, which normally is going to last 10 years, from fact, if we know it's going to last less than that, 2 years, then the business that's causing it to wear out prematurely needs to pay for that. So that is built into what staff has recommended. But back to your question. Right now, this whole concept of Bitcoin and cryptocurrency is so new that you have utilities across the country that have not reacted yet to those businesses moving into their service territory. Chelan County PUD has been on the cutting edge of the whole concept. Back when we began the moratorium, we did so because we wanted to take a close look at this. Subsequent to this moratorium, and we're still in moratorium, by the way, we have received contact from other utility companies, most recently Hydro-Quebec. Hydro-Quebec in Canada initially was open arms to the concept of cryptocurrency. And what they have discovered is that it has caused all kinds of problems with their system. They found a lot of residential users were here today, gone tomorrow. Price of crypto dropped. The coins dropped in value.
They just left town.
And they just left town. So Hydro-Quebec has reached out to us and said, hey, what are you guys doing? How are you doing this? Because we want to look for a way to backpedal. Even though we first introduced, we welcomed them, now we're finding out we've got potential problems that we didn't anticipate. So I think the answer to your question is not enough utilities have really taken this into consideration yet or encountered it yet. But as high-density demand loads move around the country and set up at places that have been too expensive in the past but now are less expensive, you might see those utilities taking action. So I think there's a wave about to happen that's going to sweep pretty much across the United States and
protecting
Canada as utilities try to protect their infrastructure.
Does it work anywhere where they protected themselves and they have the right equipment and it's not wearing out in a dangerous fashion? Does anybody have a going concern with blockchain technology, or is it also in infancy that we just have to watch?
You know, I think there's lots of going concerns. But I think that there's a working relationship between the utility and the high-density load user that takes into account the extra stress that's being put on that electric infrastructure. If not, here's the downside. So let's say the electric utility does nothing and they charge the normal rate. They experience stress on their system and have to replace components. Who's going to pay for that if not the blockchain?
Just going to ask you. I was just going to ask you, what happens also if the power fails outside their building and they lose technology or content or information or data inside and they want to blame you?
Well, and you know, at the end of the day, the utility repairs it. Whatever has broken, the utility repairs it. And if they don't have a system in place to collect that money from the user who caused it, then what happens is Michael Knight pays for it and everybody else in the county pays for it. Is that fair?
No, I think that all has to be agreed to ahead of time.
Right. So we're young enough in this whole concept that it hasn't swept across the nation yet.
What do you think is next? And I know you have to go, but my last question is, what do you think is next in terms of this? And I don't mean the agreement, but what are we going to learn about this technology that may be positive or negative?
Well, and this is just one commissioner talking, right? And there's five of us, so
right.
I'm maybe on the outlier. I don't know, but I will say that I personally like
Dan. Do you want him to say this? Should he speak out? Okay, we got it.
I personally like the concept and the potential of blockchain. I think from a banking institution standpoint and settling accounts makes a lot of sense. I like it from the securities industry, stock ownership. record keeping. It has some really exciting possibilities. It's all new, brand new. If I could wake up tomorrow and wave a magic wand, I'd love to have IBM open a blockchain service center down in Malaga somewhere, and they could settle accounts for five of the nation or the world's largest banks. I'd be happy as a lark, but we're not there yet. That's way ahead of what the technology is currently. So that's pie in the sky. But as I said, I think blockchain holds that promise, which is why we don't want to just poo-poo it and make it go away. That's not what we're trying to do. We just want to protect Michael Knight and all the other ratepayers in this county so that you don't get harmed if this technology doesn't pan out.
And I know we've all heard the phrase unintended consequences.
Right.
But technology or the use of the internet or anything that we agree on, even social media, the use of social media had unintended consequences. We're dealing with them now.
That's right.
You can open up your Facebook and look at 50% of the nonsense that's on there that has nothing to do with you.
Right.
And that was not the intent, but that's how it's being used.
That's right. Which circles back to why the commission is being so careful about how to set up and permit high density load use in our county.
It's a fascinating story. I really am interested in it. Gary, I know you have to go. Thanks for being with us. Gary Arsenault with the he's a commissioner for the PUD, and they're wrestling not only with looking for a new home, but what to do about blockchain technology. And you think they just say, well, turn it on and see if it works. That's not the way it's going to be. Thanks for watching with the sharp pencil. I appreciate you watching for our future, Gary.
You're welcome.
And thank the other commissioners, too. We'll be back. Talk with Dan Frazier about a few items right after this.
I'm local in the 191.
The Agenda with Michael Knight on News Radio 560 KPQ and KPQ.com.
It's 12:45. I'm Michael Knight. This is The Agenda. PUD Commissioner Gary Arsenault has had to leave because he goes to a lot of meetings on your behalf, and he's going to one right now. But in our studio is Dan Frazier from the PUD, and he's a man who's done a lot of work in the past couple of years just looking at the facilities that exist and imagining what it would be like if you were all together in one fine big home somewhere to be announced later. And to be accurate, we haven't made up our mind to move any place. You've made a purchase of land, but you have no clock ticking that says you have to move.
That's correct. This really was a long-term study. We approach this as a 50-year study. We're calling it generational. You move the headquarters of an agency like the PUD, you don't take that very lightly. You don't do it very often. And so if we are going to move, we want to make sure it's the correct move. So a lot has gone into the analysis, especially the financial analysis. And then a lot of it had to do with how we deliver service to our customers. So Commissioner Arsenault referenced the amount of truck rolls that go north of our Wenatchee headquarters. You know, we're at Fifth Street, kind of midtown, and all of our line crews are based there. So when they're going over half their trips go north, and they're going to have to pick up their materials. As you mentioned, the poles, our long poles are in South Wenatchee. So they do a lot of roaming around to get all their parts and pieces before they can start their day.
All you need is one 18-wheeler broken down in the right place, and you're not going anywhere, right?
That's true. And for those of us that spend some time on North Wenatchee Avenue, I don't think I can really recall a time where I haven't seen a PUD vehicle at some point on North Wenatchee Avenue. And what we've noticed in the financial analysis was really around productivity. How can we be more productive? And then how can we deliver that service? And it's not just how do we deliver service with our crews going to your location to replace a meter or put in a service, but also how does the PUD interface with our customer service piece? And right now, that's very broken up. If you want to come and sign up for a new service, it's one building in the back of the campus. If you want to pay your bill, it's up front. If you want to talk to conservation, they really don't have a place other than in our lobby to talk about, energy efficient windows or heat pumps or those kind of things. So we want to have a single point of contact for our customers to come in and say, I want to sign up for a new service, but I'm building a new home. Should I consider a heat pump versus a furnace? Or I want to pay my bill while I'm here. We can do all of that in one location. And that was a big part of this business case that we're putting together.
How many different facilities around town or around the county do you think you have that you'd like to coalesce into one big monster PUD location that serves everybody equally?
There's quite a few buildings. So the really number of buildings in this case is probably in the 30s the total number of buildings. We studied 54 buildings as part of this plan, and several of those are at the hydros, obviously. And so we have moved forward with our plan to make improvements at both of the hydro facilities. Construction is underway at Rock Island with a new storage building. So we'll be replacing some buildings, refurbishing some buildings. But for the headquarters piece, it's centered around the five buildings at headquarters and about five buildings at the Holly Street location, and then our presence in the CTC building, which we have the Confluence Technology Center. We own two condominium units inside there where we have some operations. So bringing those together, one place where people, their materials, their equipment, their vehicles are all together and at a better place to deploy was really the center of the business case around doing this. And that way we can provide that customer service and our customers can come to us and have a good positive interaction.
I can tell from talking to you and from Gary that you don't like to think about the future in terms of guesstimates, but what do you think will happen in the future? Will you move someday, and will it be someplace that you decide upon that's going to be a place where you can, where everyone can work and where you can grow?
Well, I think most businesses at some point and government agencies at some point have to face this decision. The PUD, if you look at our 20-year history of growth, it's not like we have this real steady, we grow at 2% a year, we grow 1% a year. Different initiatives over time cause our growth. When the fiber system came out, that caused the growth. When we took on water and wastewater as a line of business that the PUD would be in, that caused growth. So there's that kind of organic growth that happens, and when those things happen, you just grab onto what you can. So we grabbed buildings, we built buildings, and it was what is termed organic growth, but it's really not a strategic growth. So at some point in the future, whether it's this year, next year, or 10 years from now, the PUD is going to have to look at a strategic way to address facilities. I've worked for other agencies, and this always comes up at some point, that how are we going to deliver service most cost-effectively to our customers or in other agencies that are taxpayers or ratepayers. And so whether we go forward with this right now or we drop back and say we're going to look at other options some more, something will have to happen because we do simply outgrow facilities.
And will you build at this new location? You'll build your own facility from the ground up?
That would be, so our recommendation at this point that is coming out of all the analysis is a combined service center and headquarters facility. The service center is really the driver. That's where the productivity comes in. Those line crews, the tech shop, the fleet shop, our fiber crews, our water wastewater crews, our transformer shop, all that in one location, because those are split all over right now. Those together are the greatest productivity increase. And then the question becomes, do we want to bring the administrative and customer service pieces along with it so that we really have that single campus that everybody comes to?
And my last question is, when's your next meeting on the subject?
So our meeting to actually make the decision on purchasing the property is December 3rd. And we are also having a surplus hearing to surplus the two units in the CTC. So this whole transaction or group of transactions involves us buying the property, the PUD buying the property from the port. And it also involves the port purchasing our two condo units in the CTC. So those are the center documents in this multiple transaction. And so that will be looked at on the 3rd.
Dan Frazier's got a lot of balls in the air, but so does Gary Arsenault and all the PUD commissioners. Thanks for coming by today. We'll stay in touch with you. I can see decisions are going to be made sometime in my lifetime, but not today.
I hope so, and thanks for having us in.
My pleasure. Gary Arsenault, Dan Frazier from the PUD.
Robo Killers. This is Dave Ross on the CBS News.
Works your workout prescription.
What's happening and why? On air, online, on now. News Radio 560, KPQ Wenatchee.
Time to go. The show's over. It's 12:59. Don West is next. We have an injury accident on North Miller and 3rd Street. That's North Miller and 3rd Street injury accident currently working. Avoid that area if you can. Coming up tomorrow on this very same spot, recently elected Judge Kristen Ferrara discusses drug court. They have a special drug court. Did you know about that? Thursday and Friday of this week, no agenda. We have the day off for Thanksgiving, and you have the day off as a listener. Take the day off and enjoy it. I want to thank our special guests, Gary Arsenault, and also Dan Frazier from the PUD for coming by today. You can see their interview in its entirety on KPQ.com.